Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. It is the final stretch here on the Breakfast Huddle with Timothy Goh in for Elliot Danker and
Ryan Hwang. Of course, it's time for the Bigger Picture, and it's all about what markets are thinking about. And so far, they are struggling to find some direction. And you are looking at markets taking maybe a bit of a breather after a strong two-day comeback rally. So overnight, not a lot of action. It was quite mixed and muted, and so is the action so far in the Asian opening numbers. So let's look at what might excite markets in the next day or so. And to help us get a bigger picture, we've got Chris Brankin. He's the CEO of TD Ameritrade Singapore. Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
Good morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, Chris, glad to have you back on the show. And I want to get your thoughts on what's coming up later today, and that is the annual Fed stress test. Walk us through how it works and why the Fed is implementing such a test.
Well, yeah, look, and I think this is really indicative of what's going on in the markets the last couple of days, because this is a pretty big factor in terms of the financial system and where we might see some relative strength in the overall sector or weakness, depending on the results of the test. So basically what this test is, for those who aren't quite familiar with it, maybe you hear that terminology, it basically examines how bank portfolios would possibly perform in an economic downturn. So hence stress test.
Mm.
So essentially they've completed their test, and the results come out later tonight here in Singapore, daytime in the U.S. And a big part about this is, okay, if they pass their stress test, they are already saying that by the end of this month, that they will be allowed to start doing stock buybacks and dividends again. That's really important to basically rewarding the owners of those stocks. So the stockholders like ourselves, or retail investors or institutional investors around the globe. So for me, I think really important two things as you look at the test is, okay, one, we want to see who passes and who doesn't. I think the people, the banks that don't pass are probably going to have a more negative impact first off than the positive impact of the ones that do pass the test. I think on a longer term, medium to longer term range, the ones that do pass the test, that is going to be a definite positive for the overall stock price going forward. I don't anticipate a large move or a large kind of impact in terms of the banks all of a sudden cranking up their dividends and their buyback programs immediately, because I think there's still just some unknowns as we come out of this COVID period around the globe, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so those stress test results will be out tonight. And the other thing that banks, or rather investors in banks, will be watching out for is what's happening with interest rates. And going by what we are looking at in the yield curve charts, it's been flattening. The curve's been flattening. So the short-term rates have been going up. The long-term rates have been coming down. And that seems to be a bit of a reaction to what the Fed said in its FOMC meeting, where we are projecting for two rate hikes in 2023, bringing forward a timeline from 2024. Chris, walk us through, why did the chart react this way, at least the yields react this way?
Well, I think you brought it up earlier on your show today. Jerome Powell's comments were seen as quite hawkish, whereas I think might have been a little bit of overreaction. So you saw some of these jitters kind of centered around what the Federal Reserve Bank and even other central banks around the world are looking at in terms of stimulus, in terms of whether it's bond buybacks, whether it's their tapering concerns. Last week when we heard Jay Powell and the Fed speak, he was really kind of silent about his bond buyback program, which is a little bit interesting. But if you look at it on a more granular level, he's kind of already come back a little bit in terms of trying to, maybe calm markets a little bit, because you saw last week where the markets basically got hammered all week, and then we saw a bit of a rebound on Monday and Tuesday, I think because of that overreaction. So I think the Fed's expectations, have not really changed. If you look at it from my perspective and from what you see other analysts and some other traders talking about, is a lot of the we'll call it the stimulus, has caused this, almost an artificial kind of jumping or changing in the yield curve, because we were almost nothing most of last year to kind of pop up to all of a sudden we talk about inflation to all of a sudden, you know, that, you know, now, you know, that has been the number one concern about, you know, CEOs from last quarter's earnings in the U.S. is I think over 60% of the earnings calls mentioned the word inflation. So I think we went a little too far, a little too fast. So I think that's what's really kind of settled out markets a little bit here right now. And really important, I think, though, is what's going to go on with that Fed stress test tonight, because I think that at least lay a bit of a better picture of the economy going forward, because the banks are a big part of that.
Yeah, and the yield curve, of course, when it flattens, it means the profit margins indirectly are squeezed. So not great news for banks when that happens. And I'm wondering as well what's been happening or said by federal officials in the recent days. Overnight, we had Robert Kaplan. He is the Dallas Fed president, and he is the latest, joining the ones from Atlanta and New York, saying we might actually get rate hikes come 2022. And you might remember last week, the FOMC said two hikes in 2023. So, Chris, are we looking at a bit of a communication issue here when it comes to managing market expectations?
Look, I think, you know, markets, I say it all the time, like clarity, and I think there's a little bit of uncertainty because, you know, 2 weeks ago it was 24, and then we were, you know, then there was a number of Fed governors that said, okay, possibly late 23. You know, now you're hearing 22. But if you look at the Fed funds futures, you know, just in terms of what more people are actually putting their dollars, you know, whether that's institutions or individuals, the Fed funds futures are predicting a 0% probability right now into 22. So it's still some of that money starts moving in that direction that, you know, that might indicate, you know, a little more ammunition for the Fed to move. But I think really important about that is the number one thing that might impact the Fed's decision to raise rates faster is the consumer, because the U.S. GDP is made up 70% by the consumer. We saw these nice pops in the March and April CPI numbers, where we saw the consumers in the United States starting to come back into the market, starting to potentially drive real inflation, not just have this transitory inflation that, you know, kind of peaked because people have been sitting on their wallets for the last year. So I think really important as you look at, you know, a few things going forward, and it's the labor market in the U.S. that we continue to have a tightening there. Are people more confident they're going to be able to maintain a job or get a job? Because then are the consumer going to continue to spend, and we're going to continue to see strong CPI numbers and PPI numbers out of the U.S.? Because without that, there's no real inflation in the market, and there's really no ammunition for the Fed to raise rates any faster than the original dot plot was a month ago, where it was out into 23, 24.
Yeah, so those inflation and jobs numbers will be one to watch down the road. And worth watching as well is what's happening. The NASDAQ Composite, another record high after squeezing out a gain of 0.1%. And we've been hearing the narrative about a rotation out of growth to cyclicals for the good part of this year. What's happening here, Chris? Why are we seeing tech back in favor again?
Well, I think, you know, there's a, you know, kind of two sides to that coin. You know, we have seen our customers on every kind of tech sell-off, kind of, you know, every dip that they have been buying back in, especially across some of the large tech names like the FANGs. We have seen our customers have a wider breadth in terms of over the last 3 to 4 months, and many of these, you know, tech names have been participating in a recent run higher. You know, so they have been rewarded for it. Now, if you look at it historically, you know, generally, if you believe that we're heading into some type of, you know, interest rate rising type of environment, you know, over the last 30 years, you know, three areas that have actually been areas of relative strength has been the tech, consumer discretionary, and industrials. You know, so what we have seen our customers, you know, at TD Ameritrade here in Singapore and across the globe, is they have been more actively participating in the large tech names. You know, so we have seen some, you know, net new buying and some of the big names, but we've also seen a little bit of profit taking, as we've seen, you know, some of the, you know, the big names like Facebook. We have seen, you know, as a recent net sold area, you know, in, especially for our Asian population.
Okay, so tech, maybe still some opportunities to buy on the dips. We've been chatting with Chris Brankin. He is the CEO of TD Ameritrade Singapore. Chris, thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure, Brian. Thanks.
Before acting on the information on Money FM,
Please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.